Okay. All right. I spent way longer on that than I was looking to, because I was going to spend time saying, tell me what you heard the last 2 weeks. You can do that later. And I hope you got a lot out of what Tim was talking about. Okay. But 3 weeks ago, we watched this. Here it is again.
Okay, guys. It's after 10 o'clock. And for those on the East Coast, it's 1 a.m. So I'm going to stand up, say a few things positively. And then I'm just going to open up any quick questions or comments before we clear out of here in about probably 15 minutes. All right? Does that make sense? Everybody with me? You feel free and get up and leave. It's after one if you're from the East Coast. You're not hurting anybody's feelings. You just get up and go get good rest, because you're going to need it for tomorrow. Okay, here's one thing I've been saying to a lot of pastors today at the Nine Marks booth, or several times today. Positively, what are we wanting to see? You know, we call this thing, what's wrong with us? Okay, what should be marking our churches? Friends, what should be marking our churches is a love for God and a love for others, particularly those we've covenanted with in our local congregations. So five distinct things that some pastors care about one and not the other, I want to suggest all go together and positively should be making up a lot of what we're doing in our churches. Discipling, evangelism, raising up leaders, church planting, missions. Some pastors seem to really like one of those things, or two of those things, but they don't seem to understand the connection in that whole thing. Like, they like evangelism, but they're not much on church planting. Or they're all about missions, but they don't really see elders raised up in their own church. So friends, I just want to suggest to you that the little germ of it all is what you see there in discipling. That is me helping somebody else follow Jesus. So if I claim that I'm following Jesus, but I'm not helping other people follow Jesus, what do I mean by claiming I'm following Jesus? So, if I were to confront you like that, I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm just wanting to know, well, what does it mean to follow Jesus if you're not helping anybody else follow Jesus? Because the biblical view seems to be that if you're following Jesus, you're going to help other people follow Jesus. So that's the sort of discipling aspect. That's the easiest way, a fellow Christian. But then if you learn to do that and that becomes common, then it's much more natural for you to be thinking about your non-Christian friends, even beyond your family, your own kids or immediate family. Think about how you can be sharing the gospel with other people to help them follow Christ. Well, then if you're doing that, it's not so surprising that you're going to start to see elders and leaders raised up in your church, because you're going to start to see people who have a track record of being fruitful of this and good at this, and that's going to tend to replicate itself. And then if you see that, you're going to be ending up with too many people in your church who want to preach. And you're going to need to be starting other churches. So you're going to start to be having church plants, not of dead limbs that you stick someplace else because you have this ought sense, I should plant a church, but because your church is actually growing. Not just in numbers of people sitting there listening, but in numbers of brothers who are called to preach God's word. And you're going to want to put them out to start new churches in places where they're needed. And then you're going to see, okay, I can not only do that in my own city or county, but I can actually help do that around the world in other places. And that's what missions have been from the Great Commission till now, starting new churches as the gospel goes out. So positively, what's wrong with us? A lack of that germ, where we realize that for me to follow Jesus, it is natural and normal for me to help other people follow Jesus. And that's true about every Christian in our church, every man, every woman. Whether or not you're a deaconess or a deacon or an elder or a pastor or on staff at a church, that's just what it means to follow Jesus. All right, that's my basic idea there. So, discipling, evangelism, raising up leaders, church planting, missions, it's all part of the same basic thing. That's the positive prescription going forward.
Okay, I'm getting a little more each time that I'm listening to this. Positively, what should mark our church is a love for God and a love for others. Five distinct things should make up a lot of what we do in our churches: discipling, evangelism, raising up leaders, church planting, and missions. He said we like some more than others, we focus on some more than others, we don't see how they all fit together. Okay, so what did he say is the root of these five things? What's the germ? You've heard it three times. What is it? Following Jesus and helping others follow Jesus. I always heard following Jesus, but I'm wondering if he said the germ was really helping others follow Jesus, which then I want to go back through this and say, he said churches should be known, all right, for loving God and loving others, but then he seemed to say the germ behind all this is either following Jesus, helping others to follow Jesus. How are these things going together? Because again, remember I said if you're not careful, you assume this. You say, of course we're supposed to love Jesus. Of course we're supposed to follow Jesus. We all have strong opinions about whether this church is doing it good or bad, whether that person is doing it, whether that church is doing it. And you all feel a little uncomfortable by saying everybody's following Jesus and going in different directions. All right? We don't want to be known as judgmental on the other side. You're saying something's not right. All right, well then let's figure out what he's saying. How do these relate together? Well, I asked it this way last time. I'd like to start with a clean slate here this time. However you want to put this, you know, if you want to flip this around and go, well, no, I think that helping others follow Jesus will lead to a love for God and love for others. I don't know which is the chicken and which is the egg here. But think about this. How does focusing on our churches being marked by loving God and loving others foster this germ of following Jesus? What do you think? You got to give me a few pieces. Again, don't solve this. You start taking it apart, just like a puzzle. I did a puzzle on vacation. I opened up a box. My sister was sleeping, so I looked for a puzzle to do with my kids. You know what I found? I found a cheater bag in there. All the side pieces were already in a little Ziploc bag. Yeah. I was like, is that fair or not? All right. Well, you have to separate, all right? Once you do all the side pieces, I don't know how you do a puzzle. You're not allowed to look at the box top, by the way. But what? Oh, okay. Not allowed to look in the kitty and rook or whatever games you play, all right? So however you do a puzzle, that's what you got to do with this question. You got to break it down and sort the pieces, okay? Start talking. What do you hear? Just keep going.
And how they grow and stuff, like, without the water, stuff doesn't grow. And just thinking of my own life, like, I'm looking back to Jesus, like, there were so many that followed him, but they came for what? The bread, the miracles, they came for what, quote, fed them, rather than their participation in the gospel. And how many times, and speaking for myself, like, we think about things, but until you try to go to share it, like, that activating the use of something really drives it home for you. Like, your own faith grows through the use of it, not just for what you learn, but how you use it. Like, when you're sharing something with somebody else, trying to teach them something, like, it really makes you think about what you really believe and how you're processing that. And so this, when I say thing about watering it, it's like, yes, we need to soak up stuff, but if we're not actively producing something out of that soaking up, it's really going to cut back on the effectiveness of it. And so the more that we receive, which to whom much is given, much is required. So if we're just busy learning, which is one of my faults, I believe. I enjoy that process. I love information. But if we're not using it for God's purposes, like Jesus didn't just learn from the Father. He did what he saw the Father doing. Like that was his life's work and following orders. And so without the exercise of what we receive, like you can get all the nutrition you want, but if you're not going to exercise, you're just either going to bloat or waste it. And that's pretty much what happens in our churches, I believe.
Go ahead. Okay. You're talking about intentional. Loving. You know, you've heard me. I use me again. I can use you as an illustration. All right. Why do you tolerate me if you tolerate me? Why do you value me if you value me? All right. Do you love me? Do you love me? You know, I'm going to flip that right around. I've told you, every time you get a church directory, you should go through and not just look at the pictures or who's messed it up and whatever. And there's a bunch of errors in there, but it's better than what it was. But you need to look through and say, do I love her? Do I love him? And then you think, well, you can't love everybody, and I'm working on it, and I'm not mad at them, so I must love them. Don't cheapen the word love. What does love mean? We're going to talk about that as we work through this, not only loving God, but then what it is to love each other. That doesn't just happen. So if you're with me for the wrong reasons, we can flip that. You go, do I love you? All right. I've told you, as I poke in your life, I've heard every comment that you've ever thought about is wrong in my life. It's come out from somebody to me, okay? Including the, is any of the talking that you're doing with me for my benefit, you know, whoever I was talking to, or are you just trying to build your own kingdom here? Well, it doesn't do so well because you talk to people for a long time, and then when, back to what Stan said, after a while you find out their true values, and some just throw it away. It's not working too well then. But why? If you ask, do I love you for God's sake? I don't know. I've told you I don't love my wife the right way. How do you grow? And all this depends on how we're defining love. If you elevate it to the level of God's love, I think Darla went and looked it up when I said Paul Tripp had this big two-page thing of, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love, and he played it out practically. It's very helpful, but you read those kind of lists, and now go to the people you've said you loved and say, well, does my love look like that? And you go, well, I don't know, but I'm trying. See, you just talked about a God who is loving. He is love, 1 John 4 and plenty of other places. God is love, all right? So we're going to have to be okay with broken motives, twisted motives, heading in a direction of love inside of here, all right? That hurt feelings we get with, you say you love me, but you don't, and all that, stop. We're not looking to God. He's not your rock. Because you're seeing it wrong. You go, well, no, you're seeing it wrong. Yeah, okay, come on. Somebody's seeing it righter, okay? And so, but all those feelings have to bow to something beyond. And we're saying here, like Stan said, most people follow Jesus. They come to a church because they said, I'm gloriously saved. Well, then what does it look like? Because if you love God, you'll continue. Continue. What, continue with feeling? With what you heard in Psalm 90? Okay? It's going to have to be intentional. Jonathan?
I liked how he laid out the natural progression of all these things. All of them start with a love for God, and then it is the natural progression. Like, not everybody's going to end up becoming a pastor and then becoming a missionary or whatever, but they're all like that. That should be the norm, to be on a trajectory that is leading towards those things within the roles God has for us, and it all starts from a love of God, which should be what all Christians have. That's what sets us apart from our fleshly bodies, or not our fleshly bodies, but where we were before the Holy Spirit. And the other thing that stood out to me was just that it's partially brought about by modeling. So as he said, as ones, they love God, they love others, and are helping others follow God, and that kind of catches on. That becomes, people within the church see, oh, this is what it is to be Christians. It means sharing God, sharing what we have, bearing or giving testimony, and that it should become a culture of discipling that eventually, as a church grows, results in church planting and missions. But it's all along that path, and it has to start with a love for God and then a love for others that spreads.
Right. I agree with all of that, okay? My argument is I'm not sure you love God. If this is how we're going to define love, you're not discipling? I've told you, we're not discipling. Not only here, But it's a problem throughout Christianity. You go, well, stop beating on us. You can prove it. Were we called to make disciples? What does that look like? We'll talk about that more. If we're not doing it, you don't have a me problem. You got a him problem. He said, you love me, keep my commandments. This is what you ought to do. And then we're going to go through these different things. He said, love is the root of those five things. We don't focus on those five things. You focus on those five things only to see what Stan said, that maybe I don't have the root. The root of them, it's supposed to be normal. Let's just talk about that. Is it normal for the Christians in here to love God? What does that mean? Remember I told you we're never going to get to it, but I thought after this next study that we do was going to be Mark Dever's book, The Rule of Love, or Jonathan Lehman or one of them. Okay, The Rule of Love, where he was saying, that's what we're arguing about. We're arguing about the definition of love. So when everybody says, I love God, and then they do, however they live that out, shows what they think God values. Now, we're working our way. What Jonathan said, they play off each other. Okay, that's down here at the bottom. Everything in blue is every question that I'm going to ask you. Okay, and we're up here at the top question. Okay, so down there is the one that Jonathan answered. And we're going to come to that to say that how is how would each one of them be a natural overflow of the love of God? But they all have as their root a love for God. Now, it's not just for you to say, I feel terrible, you're making me feel guilty, this can't be right, I want to go to a grace-filled church or something. The point is to say, if the real goal is loving God, then you don't sit there and look at the fruit and say, why am I not having any of it? You go back and go, well, maybe let me grow in my love for God. That's what you have to do if you're married. You find out your spouse isn't what you were thinking. Whether you're right or wrong, you have to go back and prove that love, not to them, but to the God that you made a vow to when you married them. That love is going to grow, but only as you live it out, like Stan was saying. Nicole, go somewhere else, wherever you were going.
Go to the defining love. We need the puzzle cover.
Go ahead.
The Bible. God has given us a puzzle cover, so we're not just randomly putting two pieces together because the edges work out, but the picture doesn't. He gave us a puzzle cover.
All right. If we jump off of what Jonathan said, where he said then that love is to be modeled. All right? So she's saying, now we had the puzzle cover, okay? But then Jesus said, have you seen me? You've seen the Father. You saw how? All right? But then we looked in the Old Testament, and it isn't just through Jesus we see the love of God. It's all those same prophets that are giving out judgment that are talking about the mercies of God. It's amazing, all right? We need the puzzle cover. We have it. God is love. Where's the mic? Sandy.
So I was thinking about what loving God is. If we're loving God only because of what he can provide for us, we're coming at it the wrong direction. If we're not humbling ourselves before God and understanding who he is first, we don't have a true love for God. We need to submit to him. So if we're going to be submitting and humbling ourselves before God, and that is love, we have to do that also with others. The Bible tells us to think more highly of others than you do of yourself. And that's where we all get tripped up, because our self comes out and it's like, what I think is more important and what I need is more important. So
if we love only for what he gives, we won't see him for who he is. Like Stan said, you come to God for what he gives. He said, come to me and I'll give you rest. He offered that bread. He didn't say, only those that are my children, you know, the elect, can eat this bread. The rest of you just step outside. I mean, we talked about that with baptism and the Lord's Supper. He fed them all. He fed them all, okay? But then you start seeing as you move through it, like John 6. It said that the crowd started leaving him. Why? He gave him the bread? Okay? But so it wasn't that the problem was that he wasn't giving. He was raising the dead. He was preaching to them. He was offering them living water. The problem wasn't the people receiving. It's the problem with what we think we need. Because it's only through receiving from him that you're able to see, what do I really want when he gives you something else? That's what Stan said back in the beginning, of soaking in it. And that's where you start seeing him for who he is. The people that are growing in this building right here are having to go through waters they didn't think they'd have to go through. They're having to let their mind go places that didn't. They're learning disciplines that they didn't think were necessary before. They're being willing to be led, not against their mind, but in places they didn't value before. Those are the people growing in here. Okay? And so our love needs to be tested. It's tested in relationship. Brad.
Stan.
Yeah.
Right. I'll take my place, Brad. This is maybe just a different way of what I mentioned earlier, but it's a different direction than where my thoughts were going there. Is we can only give what we have with what you mentioned about the receiving. So part of our problem is we don't have the type of germ, which you called it love, and that's true. But even just not knowing about Christ, this is one of my challenges lately that I think the Lord's been working on me, is I may know a lot about Christ, but how much do I really know Christ? And without that, like that's a huge gap. And it really stretches my mind beyond the comfort zone to think, well, if I've known about Christ all this time, and I sure, there is an aspect of knowing him with the Holy Spirit being saved and everything, but the more that we grow in that awareness, it's like, my goodness, how do we work on ramping that up to get to know Christ himself better? Because this stuff, like, if you're only giving out what you know you should be giving, rather than it living, that is a hard road, and it's often why we fall flat after an attempt or two, face rejection with, is like, good grief, I'm doing it wrong. What's next? And so you go back to the books and say, no, that's not the answer. It's only as you live and breathe, as it overflows in your life, that you learn how to deal with things and learn about that love, that you can give that love.
So where is it going to grow? So we don't walk out of here and just say, he's saying that any love you think you have for God is probably not real love. God knows that. It said he knew what was in man, okay? But he's telling us that we can know him, that we can love him, that we can serve him. So where are you going to get this, all this junk that we're talking about, where is it played out? And that's tied directly to this question.
I'm not second-guessing Jesus for this, but the parable of Mary and Martha, not parable, but that story, that picture, I think it's a picture of both with what we're going after. We have to sit first, and then we got to get up and go do.
Okay.
But without the sitting first, the doing is at best going to be ineffective.
Right. Harold, did you have a hand? Or you lost it? Go. Yep. Boy's coming.
Sorry. Deer in the headlight. These are five things. They're
right.
I think we should have joy, and let's having joy and worshiping and having joy as part of discipleship, and I guess raising up later leaders. But I think that should be big. And I'm also not sure. I'm not personally not sure about church planning. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's definitely necessary, and it seems like it progressed, and you raise up leaders into church planning. But it's not. It seemed a little too much like Amway to me. So in some areas, it's not necessary. So where was my point going? Loving God,
fostering the germ of following Christ. How do those two work together?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to say that in a church situation that we have that leadership and that.
Organizational
structure.
Yep.
We have a way of getting these things where we are loving the other people. You know, we learn to love them. We are receiving joy, which I think should be part of that there. But it also keeps, it's a structure that gives us some foundation. So I'm not sure of a lot of organizations that are Christian organizations, but pull people out of the church, you know, do things on Sunday nights, you know, mm-hmm. or have people need to be leaving church early in order to get to their thing, you know, and the church structure gives us that opportunity to mm-hmm. do these things. And the other point I want to point out is that this, other than joy, but that comes as part of discipling and raising up leaders, these are external things. So loving God, there's a lot of external things. Discipling, evangelism, raising up leaders.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip church planning and missions. It's all external.
Right. Right. Let your light shine before men. They may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. All right? The end result is we are to be on display. All right? The danger is as we run and we put what we think are our best attempt. We've been lost. We've been psychologized. Even if we're against all the psychology, we don't realize how much has gotten into us to think, I'm not like you. I don't do well with your personality, whoever it is. It's with often people have trouble with my personality or whatever. But with her, with him, we're so focused on how different we are. This is what should bind us together, all right? You're talking about not just the structure of a church. If a church is healthy, okay, you're going to feel the headship of the living Christ. Christ who is the head. If you look in Ephesians 4, that we who don't live church the way that I believe biblically it should be in America, okay, Ephesians 4 should be memorized. Ephesians 4 and 5. Because it shows that structure, but it shows it living out in the lives of each individual member. It's not about the leaders are always right. It's not about the people are all different. It's about growing in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Even Christ. Now, all these other things, I was thinking when I left a few weeks ago, I was thinking, if we're not careful, by saying everything in here, we end up saying nothing. When everybody has a point, okay, we end up walking out of here saying, well, that was interesting, that was interesting, that was interesting, and we never move in the one area that you need to move. Where do you need to move in a way that's different than where I need to move? But it's all tied to the head. Wait, love for God was supposed to be what distinguished us from the world. Do you love God? Do you love God? And again, the answer isn't no, so I guess I'm not saved. No, so I quit. No. The answer is to say, show me the Father. Show me the Father. This is why I said, and then eventually we're going to get there with Sunday school, with that book, as we behold our God. But I told you, don't wait for Sunday school. You study the attributes of God. Okay? You focus on who this God is, but it plays out externally. You heard what Harold's saying, what these others are saying. In every church shows what they believe loving God looks like, in what we tolerate, all right, and how we encourage, what we strengthen, what we put down. That's the structure, but that's the result of our theology. No, we may all be saying the same thing, but our lives show what we believe fellowship with God looks like. Some of the people struggling with their relationship with God are saying, well, maybe I was built on a wrong foundation. Okay, then keep looking to God. I think that's back to what Sandy was saying. Go back to God. Do it among his people. Like Harold said, churches are messed up. This church is messed up. These leaders aren't perfect. But it's a gift to have other people that are this is the old hymn. We're marching to Zion, right? Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Come we that love the Lord, and let our song be heard, right? And we're marching together. That's onward Christian soldiers. He knows we're imperfect, but he's calling us to head there, to look there. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how 2 Peter just ended. I'm working on that last card right now. So love grows as we do. So in your homes, as you have conflict, don't run from it. It's giving you an opportunity to think, do I love God? And how do I love the ones in my home? As you have conflict in here, do I love God? Then how do I handle these people in here? Where's the mic? Yeah, go.
I was thinking about, as you're talking about, how much do I love God and the others around me? I can say by God's grace, I truly believe that I love him more than I did a year ago.
Yeah.
And I love the people around me more than I did a year ago. I'm growing. And it's like I keep asking myself, like, am I being faithful with, like, I don't know who I was talking about last week, but the book Future Grace, the book, whole book was to that God will give you the grace for the next step in front of you.
Exactly.
And I look back throughout my days and work and people, like, my desire is for the people that I interact with is to find an opportunity to share the gospel, and if they're Christians, to point them to their Bible and to God and say, get to know him more. And, like, it's hard sometimes, like, when you were saying you don't love others the way you're supposed to, and I'm kind of sitting here thinking, like, how, I wonder if I am or if I'm not. It's hard to, like, am I supposed to judge my process by my results or by my failures? It's hard to figure it out, but then I'm like, right. You know what? I'm going to just trust God's grace for the next step. I don't know what else to do.
That. And that's the silly grin on my face when I'm saying, do you love me? Do I love you? Do you love her? No, you don't. Not if you compare it with God. You go, well, then fine, leave us alone. But see, as soon as we say, no, we don't, somehow we all feel off the hook. Because we think, well, at least I'm not doing what you're doing. Or, and we wouldn't say that, but it comes out if you get pushed enough. We become complacent in our failure. He said, instead, I'm going to trust the Lord. And then he said, I know I'm growing in my love for him, and it's affecting how I treat others. So where did he look? He looked back to God. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Each day lived with and under an eternal God. Where's the mic anywhere? Nicole?
Well, the loving of others keeps on tying back to, okay, we can only do that because God is love. And the question of whether or not we actually love God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you love somebody or are starting to have those feelings, you want to know everything about them. And I think we do jump the step, what Stan was saying about the, we go to the Bible not to find out about God, but just to find out what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the ignoring what I'm supposed to do, it's learning more and more about God, and as a result of that, it's not just doing what I'm supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
it's doing things I know,
mm-hmm.
show love to God.
Mm-hmm. See, I grew up, I don't know whether you grew up with a tight family, all right? My family's not as tight now as I wish it would be, my immediate family, but when I grew up as a child, we were very tight. That was part of my story that I told you 2 years ago when we started this discussion. But remember when I said we went every other year to my mom's parents in Iowa, right? Closer to my dad's parents because we were here with them on the East Coast for other reasons. But I loved to go to Iowa. As soon as I got to Iowa, you know where I wanted to go? My grandpa was a doctor, right? So you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go up and sit in his office, right? Small town doctor, right? So, but to be with him, all right, my grandma didn't like it. You got to think why my grandma wouldn't like a 6-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 11-year-old boy to be in her husband's doctor's office. How could that be? So you get there, and to go in there meant that's where he was. That's where everybody came to see him, right? So I go back, in his office and sit with him. And he would, to be with him meant to be with his girls. He had these secretaries that were there for years, Barb and Dort. Later on, it was Gail. Okay? And then they doted on Dr. J's grandchildren, right? So you get love from them. In between patients, Grandpa would come back to the office. You know what he'd do? He'd give me provisions, you know, Mountain Dew, right? And in between, he'd give me a job, counting sample pills and putting them in bottles. Now, that small-town doctor, I don't know if you're supposed to do that anymore, but that's what they gave out to the people that didn't have money with that. And it's like, here, just take these. This so you don't have to buy these, all right? But you gave me a job. Well, can you see why Grandma didn't want me back there? All right? And then you had the reign of the place. You were running inside. You talk about structure? There it was. It was inside that office. And inside that office, I felt like this was his domain. So if Grandpa said it was okay, it was okay. Sorry, Grandma. When she came, you went and hid. All right? So that she wouldn't make you come home. Okay? But what we're saying is love comes in the following. You follow his word. Are you meditating on his law day and night? Love comes in doing what he said. He called us to worship. You're not here for me, for her, for him. You shouldn't be. It should be beyond that. You're here because of what he transferred you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved son. Does that mean anything? See, did I love my grandfather? You've heard that on my dad's side. Did I love any? I don't know. I love myself. I love myself. You love yourself. God, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Where do you find that? As you continue to do what he said. You say, well, you told me to do this. Well, come on. We sound just like our kids at times. Well, I get in trouble if I do this. I get in trouble if I do this. You're never happy with me. We do the same with God. But it comes along the way as we're inside of the structure with that. As we talk about it next week, you think about how, because my point is, discipling, I do think those things are essential. I do think we can prove how those things, you got to look at the world, not the world you're in, the world, where's Dever in, that would necessitate seeing how those things tie together. You'll find churches that are focused on missions or church planning or raising up leaders or evangelism or discipling. Every church has their currency of what they value, okay? He's saying, all of these things are a result of a church that loves God. We'll talk about that later. But you need to think a little more about how loving God, following Jesus, work together. Then it will produce these things. Lord, would you help us? Maybe this is new to just sit here in this. Maybe it's frustrating or annoying. I'm thankful for what was pulled to the top here so that we stop just looking at ourselves. We've sung for years in the church, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full on his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Help us, Jesus. There's different fears. There's different goals. There's different hurts. There's so much different, but you are the same. You will never change. Thank you for the psalm. I believe it's the psalm of Moses there, Psalm 90. And so, Father, would you help us? Help us. We who walk down here on earth like Moses, thank you for gifts like Moses. Would you help us to walk alongside the great cloud of witnesses that's been given us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.